Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
Some of you may remember this name, Flip Wilson. He was an American comedian and actor in the 70s, and he coined the expression, "The devil made me do it." And it became a national catchphrase. People stated after doing something inappropriate or foolish, "The devil made me do it." Folks, the truth is the devil has been tempting and deceiving people to disobey God from the very beginning of time. He doesn't have the power to make us do anything if we know Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord, but he certainly does tempt us, and he does all he can to influence us. And I'm here this morning to tell you that it is possible to be a Christian and still allow yourself to be used by the enemy. You see, the devil doesn't care who you are, saint or sinner. He wants to use you. He used Eve to influence her husband to disobey God in the Garden of Eden and to sin. And that sin has infected the entire human race. The devil influenced Cain to kill his brother Abel. He used King David to bring judgment upon 70,000 innocent people who died because of his disobedience. The devil used Peter in an attempt to stop Jesus from fulfilling his mission in life. And then he entered Judas, influencing him to betray the Son of God. You see, you're not exempt from the devil's use. Therefore, you must pray every day. You've got to read the Word of God every day, and you've got to obey the Word of God. The Bible says to walk in the Spirit or with the Holy Spirit, and then you won't fulfill the desires of your carnal nature. And this is the way the devil attacks us. He attacks us through our Adamic nature. Now, let me just explain something to you as Christians. When you come to accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord, when you say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart, be the Lord of my life, save me, deliver me," you become born again. But the part of you that becomes born again is your spirit. You become spiritually reborn. We were created a triune being, spirit, soul, and body. So your spirit is immediately born again. Your soul is being born again as you submit yourself to the Word of God. The Bible says that we are to submit ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, for the renewing of our mind. See, your soul has to do with your reason. That has to be renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit after you receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And your body has to die. Well, not physically, but it has to die. In other words, the scripture states it like this: you must mortify the deeds of the flesh, the desires of your carnal body. It'd be a wonderful thing if when we were born again, we didn't have any more temptations from our soul or our minds or our physical bodies. Let the church say amen. But you do. And this is the area in which the devil will tempt you. He wants you to betray the Lord. He wants to use you to take down other people and to harm yourself through your carnal nature. That's why you can't allow your carnal nature to have control over your life. Now repeat after me: I will not allow my carnal nature to rule my life. I will be ruled by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, every day. Amen. Now we were talking about the different ways that the devil desires to use us last time. And I left off with the fact that the devil uses Christians when they display racial, social, or economic prejudice against others. Now, I have to tell you this, folks, because the devil is truly using the church. The Bible says in James 2 and 9, if you favor some people over others, you are committing sin. See, most people don't say, well, if you have prejudice in your heart, it's a sin. The Bible says it. There will be no sinners in heaven. You really need to change your attitude toward people if there is some difference in your heart between them, thinking they may not be equal to you in some way. Folks, prejudice is the deceit of the devil. Now, I know that most of us are comfortable just being with the people that we grew up with or people like us, but you've got to understand that's not what God had in mind. Someday we are all going to heaven. God is not going to have the people that you grew up with just in one section of heaven with you. No, we're going to be there with people from all nations. There will be no prejudice in heaven. But folks, that won't be because when you get to heaven, you will change miraculously. No. You will need to change here so you can get to heaven. And this is the message that the Lord wants me to begin to share that. And thank you for the clapping, but let's keep it down just a little. Thanks. Every living human being is a descendant from one family. Now, I need to say this, folks, because, see, the devil has deceived humanity for years. We are all related. Look at the person next to you and say, hi, cousin. Yeah, see, it really does not matter what color they are, what language they speak, or where they're from. We are all related. When God destroyed the world by a great flood, there was only one family that survived. It was the family of Noah. Let me prove it to you in Genesis chapter 6 and 17. You may want to write these scriptures down. You can have a good time with these scriptures. God said to Noah, I do bring the flood waters on the earth to destroy all flesh having the breath of life from under the sky. Everything that is on the earth will die. But I will establish my covenant with you. You shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. God killed every living thing. Every human being died during the great flood, except for 8 people, the people of Noah's family. Genesis 12 and 18 tell us, the sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. These were the 3 sons of Noah, and from them came the people who were scattered over the earth. From these 3 brothers, God repopulated the planet. It goes on to say that there are 70 nations that descended from Noah's 3 sons. In Genesis 10 and 32, it says, these are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations in their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. Now, that's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So look at your neighbor and say, good morning, cousin. Yeah, folks, the Bible says we're all from one family. Hello. One family. They all came from Noah's family through his sons. However, throughout history, the devil has deceived us. Deceived us to think that we were different because of skin color, because of accent and language and cultural things. It's not so. We're all one. We're from the same family. And many of God's people are still deceived and allow the devil to use them when it comes to showing a difference with their family members. I mentioned this last time, but I'm going to say it again. According to the latest data from the Pew Forum of Religion and Public Life, it says, although Christianity teaches acceptance regardless of skin color, American churches are still largely segregated. Not this church. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Especially when it comes to black and white integration. It goes on to say more than 90% of mainline churches in America are white, and 81% of evangelical churches are white. Additionally, more than 90% of historically black churches are attended by only African Americans. Folks, this should not be. You say, well, you know, it has to do with the neighborhood. My friend, you can drive through neighborhoods. Boy, it's so quiet in here. You know what? I can imagine God is looking right now and smiling with a big smile. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 10, this is what the Apostle Paul said under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church of Jesus Christ. The devil has done everything in his power to divide the church. There are reportedly to be an approximate 41,000 Christian denominations. 41,000 Christian denominations. The devil is doing everything that he can to divide the church to keep it ineffective in the world. Folks, division undermines the gospel, and it opposes Christ's prayer to the Father, that the church be one. He prayed that prayer. Let me read it to you. In John 17 and 20, Jesus said, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. That's us. I pray they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. This is the reason why the church is segregated. This is the reason why the devil keeps Christians divided as much as he can. Why? Because Jesus said, when the world sees the church come together as one, regardless of race and creed and culture and all of these things, they will know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Jesus said, then they will believe that you sent me.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a special invitation for you.
This is Pastor Steve. Thanks so much for listening to the program today. We are living in perilous times, but I want to let you know something. God has protecting angels watching over us. And I just feel like I need to say that. One of my favorite scripture verses is Psalm 91. Let me read for you a few verses. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. For he will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. He goes on to say, I will keep you from trouble. And I will deliver you, and I will honor you. And with long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. My friends, today, God is watching over us, so we have nothing to fear. I want to personally invite you to our worship service this Sunday at 10 a.m. It's one of the ways that I know that you're listening. I would love to shake your hand and pray for you. I am certain that the service will encourage you and prepare you for the coming week.
Spirit Life Church is located in the middle of the Mid-Cities at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst. We offer a safe environment. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
In Matthew 12 and 25, Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Oh, we have the power of the Holy Spirit, folks, but if we're divided, that means the power of God cannot operate the way it's supposed to. Demonstrating God's love for everyone is the proof that we are Christians. Listen to what Jesus said in John 13:35. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. In 1 John 4:20, it says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. Now, folks, is it all right that I preach the Bible? You guys are really quiet. Is it all right that I preach the Bible? Let me tell you something. With God, he wrote the Bible, so there's nothing off limits for God. Is that all right? And I'm not a preacher that will be off limits. I won't, like, just tell you part of this. I'm going to tell you the whole thing from cover to cover. So buckle your seatbelts. It may be a bumpy ride for some of you, but we have an altar call at the end of the service, praise God. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, God says he's a liar. One of the definitions for the word hate in the original language, listen, is to love less. See, a person says, well, I don't hate anybody. But the Bible says you hate if you love them less. It means to treat people differently or inferior to yourself. That's hatred. We are commanded to treat everyone equal to ourselves because we are all created in God's image. Verse 21 says, this commandment we have from him that he who loves God must love his brother also. It says in verse 7 and 8, we should love each other because love comes from God. Everyone who loves has become God's child and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. We lived in a time in history, that is, there was a time in history in the past that there were many people saying that slavery and treating others differently was by divine design. God meant for that to happen. It was a lie from the pit of hell. And still, some of those sentiments still flow in our society today. But the Word of God is right. But it will take the Church of Jesus Christ to bring correction to the world. I said it will take the Church of Jesus Christ to bring correction to the world. It starts right in our own house, in our own family, in our own churches. As God's children, we are commanded to love one another with the love of God, which is agape. Now listen to what Jesus said in John 13:34. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. You must love one another. So when the Bible says God is love, that word agape means with sacrificial, unconditional, benevolent affection. That is how we're to love each other as God's children. The Bible says that love is not proven by what you say, but what you do. People can say, I love, I love, I love, but the Bible says you have to show it by your actions. In 1 John 3:16, it says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. So we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother or sister in need, but has no pity on him, how can he say that the love of God is in his heart? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. So it's important for you to understand, if you show a difference in the way you treat other people, the Bible says that's sin. Sin will keep you out of heaven. You must change your way. You've got to ask God for his agape love. You need to understand we're all from the same family. They're your cousin or second cousin or third or fifth removed. I don't know how far back we have to count, but we're all from the same family. Let the church say amen. You can say amen to anything I show you in the Bible. It's not my opinion. Amen. Two of you. How about the rest of you? Amen? Praise God. Now I'm going to move off of that. Aren't you glad? Another way that the devil will attempt to use you is by influencing you to speak negative words against others and yourself. Many people have no idea the power and the effect of words, but Satan does. In James 3 and 6, it says, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. What does all that mean? The devil wants to use your tongue. And many times he does, unfortunately. He wants to use it to hurt, to wound, to discredit people, and to place curses on people. In verse 8, it goes on to say, the tongue, it is a restless evil full of deadly poison. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. These things ought not to be as Christians. Now, when you speak negative words that are unkind, humiliating, offensive, empty of God's love, the devil is using you. Some people think they have the right to say whatever comes to their mind. The devil is the source of hurting other people. But he wants to use your lips to speak those negative things to hurt people. Folks, the truth is your words can either bring life or death to your relationships, to the feelings of other people, even to your own dreams. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 18 and 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, I want to share something with you. I want to share something about the effects of words scientifically. Japanese scientist Dr. Emoto has shown the potent effects of sound by photographing water crystals. In one experiment, Dr. Emoto with 300 others assembled at the shore of a badly polluted lake in Japan and spoke aloud affirming words of peace and gratitude in prayer. And then he took samples of the water, and this is what he saw. The water crystals changed from a cloudy and distorted image before the prayer to beautiful geometric crystals after they prayed. In another experiment, Dr. Emoto taped various words and phrases to jars of water. Afterward, he photographed the crystals formed when these water samples were frozen. Words or phrases like thank you, love, appreciation, and love thyself produce a variety of beautiful geometric forms. But on the other hand, phrases like you make me sick, you fool, produce crystals that were disconnected or chaotic. The implications of these simple experiments, it states, are profound. Since our bodies are made up of 70% water, imagine how the sounds and the vibrations that fill our external environment affect our internal environment, our very cells. Imagine how the words we speak about ourselves and others affect not only our own health, but the health and the well-being of those in our lives. Powerful truth. See, the Bible has already said it, but science is proving it. This is why the devil wants to use your tongue. He wants to use it to destroy the lives that you're connected with.
This concludes part one of the message today. Join us tomorrow for part two.
Thank you for being with us today for A Place to Grow. If you were moved by today's message, you can download a copy for free by going to our website, aplacetogrow.org, and click on Audio Messages. Our new website makes listening and downloading faster and more simple than ever. And if you would like to help keep this radio ministry alive, you can make a gift offering right there online. That's aplacetogrow.org. Today's message was part one of Spiritual Warfare. The Devil Made Me Do It. Now let's pray with Pastor Steve.
Father, we come to you today in the name of your Son, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness, for your love, for your mercy, and for your grace. And even as I pray for our listeners, we ask that you would meet every need. You said in your word, make your prayer unto me, and I will hear you. You said that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and your ears are open to their cry. Lord, hear us today. Meet every need in our lives. We trust you for the answer, and we thank you for it today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we hope you were touched by today's message. We're honored to have you with us and look forward to seeing you at our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. At Spirit Life Church, we strive to create a welcoming and safe space for everyone to experience God's presence. Stay connected with us throughout the week by visiting our Spirit Life Church International YouTube channel and Facebook page, where you'll find uplifting messages and lots more. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. For more details, head to our website at aplacetogrow.org. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR.